Knowledge in Words.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And I've just moved my microphone to be a little bit more in the right place. Now, later on, I have an excellent conversation with the co-founder and CEO of CGLCC. We've referred to them before as the Canadian Gaming and Lisbon Chamber of Commerce. They are now Canada's 2S LGBTQ plus Chamber of Commerce. And we're joined by Daryl Schumann, the co-founder and CEO for CGLCC, in just a few moments after our first segment of the day. Now, I want to talk to you, Sebastian, among many things, about flags.
Yes.
And yes, there is an interesting discussion that's come up. Does flying a pirate flag make you a pirate?
I mean, in the 18th century, probably. Like, if you're in the Tortuga region or you're off the coast of Halifax and you've got any flag with a skull on, I mean, the skull and crossbones was specifically, I think, Calico Jacks. But if you've got any kind of what's it called, a Davy Roger? Then I'm sure somebody would be like, yeah, that's probably a pirate. We should probably sink them. But I mean, it's not the 18th century, or the 17th century. So I would reckon in current year, no.
Okay. Well, this was a legal discussion that came up at the Iowa Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's quite interesting because there was a gentleman, and let me see if I can find his name, Robert Clark, Geeds, something like that. He was arrested and charged with trespass and essentially a hate crime. Mm-hmm. He went around the community, and anyone that had a pride flag in their window, above their door, sort of visible from the street, he wrote them a scathing note using anti-gay slurs, somewhat threatening. Mm-hmm. And left it at the door of everybody that had a pride flag. Now, what's worth noting here is the difference in the law in Canada. In Canada, first of all, hate crime, it needs to be some other crime. You know, Sebastian, it needs
hate
to
crime
be
is a motivation crime on top of another crime. Like, if it's not assault or burglary or mischief,
trespass or mischief,
trespassing, yeah. It's got to be an actual crime, because you can't have a hate crime for just thinking naughty thoughts, because thinking thoughts is not a crime.
Yeah, I mean, currently. So, but yeah, so in Canada, if this had happened in the streets of Sudbury, for example, that a gentleman had gone and targeted homes, leaving threatening messages for anyone that had a pride flag up, they would have been also charged with much of the same, crimes as this man in Iowa. But in Canada, the victim doesn't have to be a part of the community that is targeted. So, for example, if you drew anti-Semitic symbology on the side of a community center or the side of a house of a Presbyterian man, you know, that community center and that Presbyterian man don't need to be Jewish for that impact and that harm to be felt, and here's the important bit, by the Jewish community. And likewise, in Canada, if there's a crime that's evidently targeting the gay community, 2S LGBTQ community, and the actual victims, the people directly impacted, don't need to be that to be to for it to count. Now, technically, it's the same in Iowa. No, sorry, it's not the same in Iowa. In Iowa, the victim has to be of a protected group for it to count as a hate crime. And one of the dissenting judges made the point of, well, actually, the guy who was appealing his conviction is like, look, you've charged me with a hate crime. Unless you prove everybody that I've put this, you know, heinous note on the door of is gay, then that crime doesn't stand up. Right. And the judge drew the comparison to, you know, waving a pirate flag doesn't necessarily make you a pirate. I don't know. Which one? What are your thoughts on that? In Iowa, you have to be. In Canada, you don't have to be. It can impact the community as a whole. It's worth noting the Iowa Supreme Court sided with maintaining the charge, even though they weren't able to prove that every single person connected was gay.
You and I actually used to have a mutual coworker, although you worked with him before I did, and he was Dravidian, meaning he was from the sort of from mainland India, but the same ethnic group as Sri Lanka. And Dravidians have the skin tone of Central Africans, but the facial features of Indians. They're also ethnically a completely separate group from either Africans or Indians. They're just very dark skinned people from South Asia. And he told me that multiple times living in Canada, people called him the hard R N word. And he said, like, well, first of all, I'm not. So it's just kind of funny. But he was also like sort of vicariously offended because he's like, I know what they're trying to do. And even though they're wrong, I know that it's meant to be hateful. And they're being hateful either way. They're really commenting on his skin color more than anything else. But he was like more baffled than anything. And I think in that case, it would count as a hate crime because like just because they're wrong doesn't mean the intent wasn't there. And if they did try to enact violence, that doesn't mean the intent wasn't there. And in the 90s, especially here in Ottawa, there's a string of famous cases of, to bring it back to the queer angle, straight men who were perceived as gay, who were gay bashed, even though they weren't gay, just because they had nice hair and shoes. And it doesn't matter that they were straight. Fact is that their attackers perceive them as gay and wouldn't have attacked them if they didn't perceive them as gay. So there was that motivation there, pretty clean cut. And I do understand that it can be a slippery slope to go down the hill of, well, if you're not, but then people think you might be, then yeah, we're going to call it a hate crime. But I think there are certain cases where it's like, no, this was a clean cut instance of mistaken identity, and the person they were trying to attack was the group that they thought they were hating. And I think like there are instances where you're like, yeah, I understand the slippery slope argument, but this is a pretty clean cut case if they were just stupid. They were homophobic, but also stupid. They were racist, but also stupid. They got the group wrong, but there was that stupidity there where they were trying to be homophobic and just failed at it by attacking the wrong person, but that intent was there. And I would say that in that case, especially clean cut cases, like some of the ones that were happening in the 90s, I'd be like, yeah, fine. Put the hate crime thing on it. Yeah. I can also understand the counter argument if you don't want to go around calling everything a hate crime, because then otherwise it could be, people could abuse that, you know? You know, it wasn't just libel. They didn't just say that I was fraudulent. They did that because I am a blank. And it may have just been that they were doing poor grade investigation and thought that you doing a tax write-off was fraudulent. Like, there's a huge difference between like somebody who's just wrong and someone who is trying to cause harm because you are a what have you. And I think that you do need to be careful, but I think there's also instances where it's like, yeah, we need to be careful, but come on, guy, this one's obvious. And I think this is one of those instances.
It's also worth mentioning that the whole freedom of speech piece came up.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, he has the freedom to express thoroughly hateful, disgusting, threatening comments. At least he believed so, which is also not true.
I actually your looked freedom... it up. The thing that he put on every note was burn that flag. And on some of the notes, he just added a little bit extra. So fundamentally, it was burn that flag is what he said. Which I could imagine if you're not expecting that to be taped to your door, your brain might go to like burn that flag or I will. And you might start getting paranoid about arson and that kind of thing. Even if it was just like a flippant remark, I could see if you don't know who did it, you just find that first thing in the morning when you're on your way to work, that would scare you. So I could see that being.
It's also worth noting that y'all, you know, if you believe that people who have pride flags should burn the flags, keep that to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the right to march up to people's properties and leave threatening notes. Mm-hmm. That does not exist in Canada, and that right does not exist in Iowa, where this took place. So, yeah, if you have a hateful, bigoted opinion, please keep it to yourself and don't leave it on in angry post-it notes on your neighbor's doors. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I mean, I think it's deplorable, but we will carry on from there. I want to move now to Russia.
Oh, yes.
Now, we spoke about the fact that we are now under Russian law, LGBTQ extremists, as they have changed the law to make the international LGBTQ community they're now considered extremists. That was followed by a couple of raids on gay bars in Moscow. And now we're hearing that not even My Little Pony has survived the anti-gay clampdown in Russia. So all the bronies are... Well, actually, it's not the bronies. The bronies are fine.
Yeah.
The true victims here is the intended audience of My Little Pony.
It's so weird. This is the counterpart to everyone saying, like, you know, Cher, Madonna, and Britney Spears are gay. Just because they're popular with the gays doesn't mean that it is gay. And if you're to ban Cher in Russia to get at the gays, that just feels weird. This feels like a misfire. Not that I want to give them advice on how to oppress the gay population properly, but it's so weird. It's so bizarre. I know that later on in the series, if I remember correctly, I remember hearing that they did have interpersonal relationships between some of the ponies that would be considered romantic, but it was a kid's cartoon, so obviously it was 0% sexual. And some of the friendships between the female characters were a little bit close, but I mean, that's completely different. And that's the kind of thing that you could just fix with like subtitles and overdubs. Like famously, they did that with Sailor Moon and a whole bunch of actually animes when they brought it to Canada, a whole bunch of like female characters looking at other female characters saying, oh, she's so pretty. Not even just a gay way, just like she's very pretty. I'm jealous of her prettiness. That was edited out. Because they didn't want any kind of unintended gay subtext in there. So they just changed the translation. And that's a bit corny, but they did it. And it's not that hard. You're adding subtitles or overdubbing anyway. Just change it what it is. I don't know. The whole thing's weird. It's a misfire. They could do better. I want to encourage them to
oppress. It's worth explaining
better, but,
what happened, though. And that is that the Russian movie database, which is owned by the sort of web portal Yandex, has changed the age rating on My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, the cartoon series. And they've changed the age rating of this to 18 plus.
Yes.
So now children can't watch My Little Pony in Russia. Although an actual reason hasn't been provided, people are speculating that it's simply the rainbow-colored mane and character Rainbow Dash that is behind the pivot to make it 18+. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because a rainbow-colored My Little Pony just, you know, it is innocuous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so benign. But it is, I believe, a symptom of that larger culture of fear and trepidation that exists in Russia. You know, the Russia might change the law, raid a couple of bars, but that sense of silence will creep into the life across the board. That sense of fear creeps across the right. I think that this is a perfect example of that cultural symptom of these really archaic laws.
And people are just banning rainbows. The fact that like everything with a rainbow on it is triggering a homophobe actually bothers me in the same but opposite way as when you hear about like young 2S LGBT people saying that everything with a rainbow on it is gay. And it's like sometimes a rainbow is just a rainbow. You know, you look at something, you're like, well, that has 9 colors on it, not the standard 6. It's not a gay rainbow. Calm down. It's okay. We don't own rainbows. And I would say that to both sides of the edges on this particular thing, just calm down. It's just a rainbow. It's fine. It can happen. Light goes through a drinking glass the wrong way, and then it projects a rainbow on the wall. Doesn't mean your drinking glass is gay. It's just a rainbow. Chill out.
Now, speaking with people who are looking to chill out, the United States government have issued a string of sanctions against current and former ministers and officials in Uganda who were behind what is now the world's most harsh anti-gay laws. Now, these officials that introduced the world's most harsh anti-gay law are outraged that they are being personally targeted by the United States and having sanctions levied against them. They think that this is fundamentally unfair. Killing somebody for being gay, that is what it is. Having sanctions against your bank accounts, now that's a bridge too far. This follows the decision by the U.S. State Department. They've added a whole bunch of people onto that list. It follows on, as I was mentioning before, about the World Bank cutting off new loans. You know, the USA is not on its own here. A lot of Western authorities and powers have decided to move away from pouring money and resources into a state that is determined to annihilate gay folks in the country, not necessarily a country you'd want to do business with. So on the flip side, I believe there's also an effort right now in Uganda by activists who are brave enough to still be there to challenge the law in the constitutional court. Still early days on that. And it's worth noting that the majority of MPs in the Ugandan parliament did pass the law to begin with, but potentially with this cutting off the cash taps, sanctioning those who are directly responsible, and maybe a constitutional challenge, is there a way for this law to be rolled back? Potentially, but I don't know. I'm not holding up a lot of hope for LGBT folks in Uganda at the moment.
Well, I'm sure it will be someday, just because every country that's tried anything remotely like this has eventually discovered that it's very expensive and there are diminishing returns. The amount of time and effort you have to put, and money you have to put into enforcing this kind of thing is so prohibitively expensive that every country that's tried it has either backed off, only applied it for like symbolic cases, you know, making an example out of an individual, and then otherwise largely left things alone. Not that it makes it okay. I'm not saying that it's fine, because they tend to be lazy in their application of it, but it's not going to last forever just because of that. Just we've seen this before. We've seen this song and dance before. And it's also kind of weird how personally they're taking it, because I'm thinking of all the U.S. political figures who are banned for life from ever going to Iran, Afghanistan, and North Korea for various reasons. I'm sure you can guess who and for why. And their answer is, yeah, fair enough. They're kind of mad at us because we did some stuff. So fair enough, you know? And we disagree with each other anyway. I don't think I want to go there. I don't know. It's a very different attitude, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be playing our first track. Now, you suggested bringing a bit of a hip-hop theme to today's show. I'm going to kick it off with Tayfani. This is OK. A truly incredible artist out of Alberta. As I mentioned, OK by Tayfani, and we will be back just after this.
but not colder than my heartbeat. Anyone dance naked in the mirror? Just me? Well, not just me. What I see goes deep. Insert dirty joke here, but I'm trying to stay clean. I lean on the beat for relief when in need of release. Bad energies tempting my generosity, my honesty. But my royalty is my faculty. Kiss a teat, memories involving tea. Like before, I am the store you explore when you want more. Versatility alone shows I go pro. Vision third eye, that's why I decline your invite. From time, you bite my side just for my rhymes. But it's okay, mom from Mobe, not my forte. I rep Dominica like I'm Dorje. Learning lessons of blessings, if they lessen, then it declines my best end. I gotta represent West End, so my East brethren realize Berta ain't a dead end. When I'm ready to blow, yes, that's how it goes. Left eye, you catch, then I throw. It's my own sense of time, that's why I'm so sensitive. I mean sensitive and repetitive. My therapist says I can say that I'm working on it. And I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Middle of the journey, I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that, yeah. I'm here, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm present and today, I'm okay with it. Time in my head is relative to dollars and cents. I know it's there, but does it really exist? It goes here, there, and everywhere, and nowhere at the same time. Yet we need our everyday lives. I feel trapped. This season ain't got shit on my fallback. Don't trip when you see me in all black. Don't ask if I'm okay in the moment, cause I really can't handle all of that. I know so many wanna take credit for my vision. Just cause I don't speak on it, don't mean I missed it. In my mind, all of us in millions. I can speak for myself, but know when, that's the difference. I'm the whole burger, big bird of beef. Funny cause some of y'all only bring in the cheese. Not even money, I mean corny. That undigestible, but forgettable. Tasty going down, but can't settle though. Buy it in a can or even on the car, but community know it's unsellable. Things I say alone, but right now I'm venting. Take it how you want it, not how I'm meant things. Golden child, child of gold, this beat is head nodding. Hate is head throbbing. After writing this, I finally stopped sobbing. I'm human, and I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Middle of the journey, I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that, yeah. I'm here, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm present and today, I'm okay with that.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. Sebastian is locked in the toilet, but we'll get back to him later. I am very excited to have Daniel Sherman, who is the executive director of Canada's 2S LGBTQ plus Chamber of Commerce. We've referenced it in the past as the CGLCC. We are big fans of you folks, and it's always, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Luke. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us back.
Excellent. Now, there was a story that bubbled up to the surface and really caught my attention. And on our show, we talk about, we do deep dives into the Welsh government's official LGBT plan. We spent a whole hour talking about, Alberta's school board policies and practices once. So we love things that are sort of bureaucratic in nature. And when I saw an announcement from not just yourself, but CAMSC and the IWSCC as well, all inclusive supplier, coalitions about supplier diversity, I thought, ooh, now that's a juicy topic to dive in on. Now, when me and Sebastian get excited about supplier diversity, I imagine folks driving and around, why is that important? Like, this is not, the most groundbreaking news to have crossed the desk. It's not a George Santos story. But I think it is incredibly interesting and incredibly valuable. So let's tackle the very basics. Why is it important for larger businesses, for governments, for business of any size to have a diversity in terms of who their suppliers are. And when we're thinking diversity, you know, we're not just talking about, you know, 5% from company A, 5% from company B. We're talking about companies that are led and run by queer folks, by people living with disabilities, and so much more. Why is that important?
Yeah. And first of all, Luke, I will say that not many people get so excited when we talk about supplier diversity. So thank you for being one of those people. You know, this is something that we live and breathe every day, and it is really important for us. And it's important for Canada in terms of really embracing the power and the impact that supplier diversity can bring. So supplier diversity really is around diversifying our corporate and public supply chains, making sure that the organizations, the companies that we're procuring goods and services from are reflective of our broader community. So making sure that we have diversity within those within our supply chain. And so when, again, as you mentioned, when we're talking diversity, we're not just talking to SLGBT, we're talking women-owned business, we're talking people with disabilities, veterans, BIPOC. So it's really kind of all levels of diversity. Know that diverse businesses are underrepresented in corporate supply and public supply chain. And so that's really our goal here, is how do we create a level playing field for all of these diverse businesses? They traditionally and historically have not been invited to the table, if you will. And so that is our goal, is to give them an opportunity to create those access, to create that access, to create those opportunities where they can compete just like everybody else. So this is not about preferential treatment. It is not about, you know, giving special treatment. It is very much around creating opportunities where there is equal access, a level playing field, and then they compete just like everybody else. So the reason why it's important is, I think there's a few reasons. One is, again, for these diverse communities, they are traditionally and historically marginalized. And so this is all about economic empowerment. The more that we can support these marginalized community groups through the power of procurement is helping them increase their tax base. It's helping to create employment. It's helping them to grow their businesses, which then benefits the broader community. So not only their own constituency group, but the broader community and the broader Canadian economy. So that is really the goal of what we're doing here. And so this historic moment that you talked about, you know, what we've realized here in Canada, because, you know, at the end of the day, Canada is still relatively small and supplier diversity is still relatively new here. We need to collaborate very closely with other organizations that have the same focus within their own constituency groups. So this year, there's four different organizations that are coming together to really to promote this and actively support the continued growth of all diverse businesses. So under the banner of Supplier Diversity Alliance Canada, you mentioned CAMSI, which works with Indigenous and minority-owned businesses, IWSCC, which works with peoples with disabilities and veterans, and We Connect International, which supports women-owned businesses. So collectively, we're coming together, we're bringing our diverse businesses together and connecting them with corporations and governments that are looking to engage these diverse businesses. So that is, it's really exciting that we're doing this in June of this 2024 in Montreal. It's the first time that we're going to be doing this, and it's going to create some significant impact.
I think this reminds me of a media convention that happened a few years ago, and they were talking about the future of broadcasting. And it was a panel of four white guys called Jeff. Now, just for the audience's sakes, that the future of broadcasting, four white guys called Jeff. And I think that is possibly one of the best examples I can give of how do you find innovation? How do you find out-of-the-box thinking? And how do you find, you know, new creative solutions to build and expand your